Hello, hello. It's another case of Mixtape and Identity, and my guest this week is Sam Lake. Thank you so much for joining me. This is episode 86 of Mixtape and Identity with Sam Lake. Sam is a very funny comedian. He's also a podcast host. He hosts I've Had a Rose, Let's Talk About Feelings, which is a video podcast up on YouTube. Very, very funny. You should check that out if you haven't done so already. But yeah, I was very excited to have Sam on the show. The songs were great. It was an absolute blast of a list. Very girly pop bangers. Big Eurovision focus as well. So yeah, there was a lot to enjoy. If you're new to the show here, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, basically I sent Sam a list of prompts. He sent me back a list of songs, and we're going to talk through what songs he picked and why he picked them. If you want to follow along with any of the songs that we're talking about, it's all available in a playlist on Spotify. You can find that in the description of the podcast. This is a very funny episode. I had an absolute blast recording with Sam. One quick thing I'll say before we dive in is we do talk about Eurovision quite a bit in this episode. We had this conversation months ago, so this was before the conversation around Israel taking part in Eurovision was a more prevalent conversation. I'm sure some people were talking about it, but it wasn't on my radar. So if you're wondering why that is and it feels a bit jarring, that's why that is. But I just left it in. It's still a very funny episode, so still enjoy it. That's it. I will be back at the end of the episode, but for now we'll dive in. This is episode 86 of Mixtape Identity with Sam Lake. I have on occasion used video from the recording for like social media and like posting.
That's
stuff.
Fine.
Cool. All right.
That's why you. I steamed up my room nicely.
I thought that might be the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is all the steamy room. I thought, yeah, like this guy's done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the humidity in podcasting.
It is. Yeah. They want to be able to hear the moisture.
Yeah. It's like a bay leaf in cooking. Like you don't know exactly what it's there for, but you know, if it wasn't there, you'd notice. Do you know
what
I mean?
You'd notice. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So we'll jump in. How often do you actually listen to music at the moment, Sam?
Probably every day. But only when I'm walking somewhere or I'm at the gym.
Okay.
So I don't think I listen to music sort of like recreationally, as in just to listen to a song.
Sure. Okay.
Very rarely do that. I see music as quite a functional thing.
Okay. It's a purpose, right.
Yeah. So every year my Spotify Unwrapped is sort of like the Unwrapped of a pill-popping gay raver when I'm... Only like one of those things, really.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pill popping.
You got it. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So, is the this might be quite nerdy, but is the walking and the gym music the same? Is it like walking with a purpose music?
Yeah. Usually. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's walking with a purpose.
Right.
I have the music on. I naturally try and like walk to the beat of the music.
Sure.
I don't love going for a walk with no reason. I'm always walking somewhere. And right. Again, I think because, and this is quite common of a lot of queer people, we walk quickly everywhere.
Right.
And so the music just gives us the backing to do that. Really, I think any time that I'm walking, it's actually just very specific choreography that I'm acting out.
I think that's a great way to see life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all choreo.
It's all choreo. And if you mess it up, I don't know, something bad happens probably.
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
All right, cool. Grand. I was going to ask you as well, because obviously there's a bit of a Eurovision theme in this playlist.
Yeah.
So do you get like really into Eurovision? Like, are you listening to a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, love Eurovision.
Right.
But again, I think it's because I love the sort of ceremony of it all. I follow it all year round. There's like blogs, there's news. And so I keep an eye on it throughout the year, not just when it's actually happening.
Okay, yeah.
And I think the reason I like it so much is because I love the suspense of the results. And I do like the music as well, but at Eurovision, the visuals and the performance make the song what it is.
Sure.
The song could be kind of like average, but mm-hmm. if the staging of it and the way it's presented visually is yeah. really good, then yeah. it wins people over, and I think that's definitely the case for me.
Yeah, yeah, I find that as well. Like there, and there are certain songs that just don't translate to the stage particularly well. I can't remember whose entry it was last year, but the Edgar Allan Poe song.
Oh yes, I forget their names, but that was Austria.
Austria, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was obsessed with that song before Eurovision.
Great song, then, wasn't it? Yeah,
and then. On the night I watched it, and I was like, I was watching it with my wife, and she's like not into Eurovision at all, and I was like, oh, uh-huh. this is my favorite, this is great. And then as I was watching it, I was like,
yeah,
this I shouldn't have talked this up quite so much.
That's so funny, because my husband does that with music he's discovered all of the time, and then he'll share it with me, but he'll right. always say like, you have to listen to this, it's the best song you've ever heard, and if you die without listening to it, it is a life not worth living. And then I'll listen to it and go, even if I think it's a good song, you've oversold it to me. It's never gonna live up to the expectations you've set. Yeah, some songs don't translate to the stage very well, which is a shame, sure. but I still listen to them like once the contest is over. So
yeah,
it's not the worst times. There's a song a couple years ago called Snap, which at Eurovision didn't do very well at all.
Right.
But then afterwards, I think it went on to become like the second most streamed song from Eurovision ever.
It went viral.
But at the time, everyone was kind of like, meh.
Right.
But it just goes to show like, sometimes the song can just be the song, and then the visual performance is just for that one night.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's so funny about your husband. is it possible that he, like, would you just not listen to a song unless he hyped it up that much? Like, if he said, this is a good song and you'll like it, would you listen to it? Or do you only listen because he's going, this is going to blow your mind?
No, I'll listen. Okay. I'll listen because he wants me to listen to it.
Right.
Yeah, it just won't ever live up to the expectation.
Sure.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. I just need it. But now he's like, now he's very conscious of it. So if he wants me to listen to a song,
yeah.
he will just send the link and be like, I will await your judgment, and then not say anything else.
That's good. That's yeah. good. I feel like that's a journey that a lot of straight men go on, the ones who grow up.
Is my husband straight?
No, I just feel like it's like films. Like, I've gone through that with films where I've been like, you know, I've told people, oh, like,
yeah.
you have to watch this film. This is the best film. Yeah.
100%.
Now I'm in my 30s. I'm like, well, first of all, a lot of the films I was suggesting are not great and in some instances yeah. problematic. And yeah, also, you know, people can have different tastes. So that doesn't mean they're bad.
Well,
yeah, okay, fair. Thank you. But yeah, like I did it with Thor Ragnarok was one I did it with my wife, which I loved at the time, and I'm completely over Marvel films now, but at the time I watched it and I thought, this is amazing, you have to watch this. And then within 10 minutes I was like, this was a mistake. I should not have encouraged you to listen to this. This is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that's great. Right, we'll jump into the list here. So
sure.
Song one is the song you fell in love with straight away. So you went for Hole in the Head by Sugar Babes.
The Sugar Babes. I had to start with the Sugar Babes. I think they're my favorite like girl band. They're the first musical artist that I think I think we all grow up on like the music that we get from our parents, whatever they're listening to, and then when you're old enough you can start getting your own music. And I don't think it was the first album that I got for myself, but it was the first album I got for myself and really enjoyed and like obsessed over it.
Right.
And this was like one of the lead singles from it. And just love it.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Yeah.
No questions. Just loved it. I like their songs before as well, but then this one came on and I was like, banger.
Yeah, this song, I felt like I knew really well until I listened to it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange song, like production-wise. Yes. Very odd. Like there's a lot of elements to it where I was like, I this shouldn't work. It does work, but
it does.
Yeah, but when I'm listening, like it goes a lot softer than I thought it did, and there's a lot of like
I see, yeah,
and there's a lot of like there's like sort of acoustic guitar strikes and like little little elements to it. That I'm like, why is this coming together? It shouldn't.
It shouldn't, but it does. It's like I was gonna say like a food thing. There was a thing on TikTok where people were mixing fries. It's like dipping your fries in your milkshake at McDonald's.
Sure. Okay.
It shouldn't work, but it does.
Okay. I don't want to fall out with you early in the podcast, Sam. So I will.
I mean, it works for some people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I saw that you've obviously you've got a new podcast coming out, and you were talking about the Sugar Babes in the trailer.
Yeah.
Was it Olga Koch? You blew your mind talking about the Sugar Babes Spice Girls thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the idea is, now that I've said it, enough people have asked me if I'm making it up. So I'm not making it up. Can I confirm that it's true? No. But that doesn't mean I'm lying. It just means I might not be telling the truth.
Yeah,
but
citation unintentionally, needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the story I heard was that we already had the Spice Girls. Yeah. And at the time, all of the big music producers wanted like the rival to that to try and piggyback off the Spice Girls' success. So they were thinking about the Spice Boys, which never took off. And then they thought about what other girl bands they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor is that's why they're called the Sugar Babes, because they're not the Spice Girls, they're the Sugar Babes. It might not be true, but it sounds like it could be.
Yeah. I want it to be true, and therefore will not do much research into it. I will just accept it.
Yeah.
That's true. I did do a little bit of research, and I found out that they were originally called the Sugar Babies.
Yes. Because they were very, very young when they started, like 12
weird,
or 13.
Though. Weird to call yourself the Sugar Babies.
You wouldn't, I don't think they would have lasted long if they were called the Sugar Babies.
No.
Because they're grown women now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I couldn't call them the Babies.
No, it's odd. And when I was looking into it, there were two different reasons that I found as to why they changed it from the Sugar Babies to the Sugar Babes. One was, neither of them are good. One was to go for more of a mature sound, which I mean I guess, but
yeah,
if you're saying that in the room, I don't think that needs to be said. And the other reason, but there was already a band called the Sugar Babies, so they went with Sugar Babes. And if I was in a band called Sugar Babies, and a band came along and tried to call themselves the Sugar Babies, and they went no, and they went all right, Sugar Babes, I would not be happy.
Literally just take out one letter.
Yeah. And then go on to be hugely successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sugar Babies feels like it might be like a kids band, though, like the Wiggles or something.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great song, though. Right, song two is a song that took you a while, so you went for Can't Tame Her by Zara Larsson.
Yeah. I think I chose this one because... you'll see when we talk, a lot of my music influences do now come from my husband, but we were, because he's the one who drives and I'm the passenger princess, I'm in control of what music gets played. And I put this song on a couple of weeks ago when we were driving to the shop, and he was like, do you know what, I think this song completely passed me by when it came out. And I was the same with this one. I think the first time I became acquainted with it was she did a performance of it on Dancing on Ice, and that immediately made me think, This isn't. If she can only get Dancing on, I mean, okay, all right, Zara. But then it came up in like a shuffle play or something, and I ended up listening to the whole song and went, "That's actually not that bad." And then it started growing on me. It was like it was a grower, not a shower.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the. I usually put that in brackets around this category when I
say. Oh right. People. Yeah.
Song two, a grower, not a shower. Yeah. It's a great song. I hadn't heard it before. Passed me by also, but it's great. It's got very big, like, Mom, I just want to dance energy.
Big Fame flash dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think it might have been what she was going for.
I think it is. Like, it's, yeah. And yeah. It, like, lyrically, musically, it all feels like it's sort of going for that kind of theme.
Yeah.
But it's great.
It's a good song. You'll see, I do like a good girly pop banger.
Yeah.
Just do. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a theme. Yeah. I can't hear Zara Larsson without thinking about a very particular video of two teenage boys arguing. They're both, well, one of them's definitely gay. And
great.
And he's just bullying this boy. And one of the things he says to slag him off is he says, "You stand Zara Larsson." And it's like the sassiest, and he says it like he's just like completely destroyed his world.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that was one of the videos I watched, and I realized I was an old man because it's one of it. Like I watched it, and I was like, "What are these people saying? Why are you using this as insults? Why are you saying Stan?" All of it was just.
Was this a sketch, or was this like a real?
No, it was a real thing. Like it was. I found the video on TikTok, but it was definitely pre TikTok days.
Oh, when I originally saw it.
May have done the rounds on Twitter or something. I can't remember. But yeah, like it's just a horrible little video. But yeah, I remember watching it going like, oh, like I hate everyone. I never want to be young again.
I'm gonna have to go find it. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like whoever said it in the video has a point. I'll just leave it at that.
Fair enough. All right. Song three is a song from Introduction to Music. So you went for Whenever, Wherever by Shakira.
Yeah. So my mum was Spanish. She moved to Cornwall in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so growing up, a lot of the music that I remember listening to always had some kind of either Latin American or Spanish flair to it.
Okay.
And Shakira was like one of... There are obviously lots of people who came before her, but she was the first sort of artist that I heard played in our household that sung in Spanish. And I think this is from the first album that she did in English.
Right, okay.
I could be wrong. But until then, she'd only done albums in Spanish. Then she sort of went worldwide with this song, which was a huge song. I remember seeing the music video everywhere just because of how bizarre it was. She's in the mud, she's like swinging her hips around some like rhinos or some horses. Mm-hmm. And then at the end she dives off a mountain. It's obviously got the classic line of like, "Lucky that my breasts are small and humble. Who doesn't love a small humble breast?"
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say that reminds me of my mother. My mother with her small humble breasts. I think of them every time I hear this song. But it was like, I think because she had such global success, even people in Cornwall heard about this song. And then because my mom was Spanish, she was like, "Oh my God, she sings all of her music in Spanish." And then she got all of her other albums in, and then she would play them on the computer. And so I just remember always hearing that around the house. And I also, again, I love a girly pop banger, and that's definitely this, but it's sort of got like a, I don't know what the right word is to describe it. I think if you were to say it at Eurovision, it would be something like ethno beats.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. It's got that kind of thing going on for it. It's just a good song.
Yeah.
And a classic as well. It's one of those ones where if you play it at karaoke, I feel like it's one of the ones where people go like, "Oh, I actually do know all the words to this. Great."
Yes. Yeah. 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 Which we'll come on to, but I think that's like, that is the...
Yeah.
The cornerstone of a great karaoke song, a great choice, is that exact reaction there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This song. Yeah, it is a banger. I was thinking about the lyrics, especially when you said like this is her first album in English. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That line about my breasts are small and humble, so you don't mistake them for mountains.
Yeah, she
which
she's,
doesn't happen.
She's, it, well, maybe not to you, but she's in the straight community. but yeah, they, she's quite the lyricist, and I think you can tell she's writing in not her first language, which is not a diss, but she's got other songs like, she has a song called Poem to a Horse, and she says poem to a horse because she's like, everything you're saying, it's like writing a poem to a horse. What's the point? It's like, do you know what? Yeah, what is the point in writing a poem to a horse? The horse is just going to look at you and go like, I don't really enjoy spoken word.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it doesn't not make sense, but yeah.
Right.
Technically correct, the best kind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've had Modern Family on in the house recently, and Gloria has a line that's really stuck with me when she's talking about learning English. She turns around in frustration at one point and says, do you know how smart I am in Spanish? And it's just stuck with me any time I'm dealing with someone who's like translating someone or anyone who's dealing with their second language. I think it's great. I think it just sums it up. And then I obviously listened to Shakira and I was like, nah, that looks shite, mate. it just goes out the window.
They can't all be winners, no.
No, exactly.
Yep.
Alright, song 4 is a song that makes you happy. So you've gone with Cha 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 by Karia.
Karia, who is represented Finland at Eurovision last year.
Yeah.
There are other Eurovision songs coming up. This is just the first one.
Right.
But it's probably a bit of recency bias here as well. But I just remember watching, again, like I said at the beginning, I feel like a lot of enjoyment for the song comes from seeing it visually. And also part of that is seeing how it like makes a crowd of people feel. Mm. And so like there were lots of good songs last Eurovision, but this one got the crowd going in a way that none of the other songs did, not even the song that won.
Yeah.
And there's something about just putting yourself in, like trying to imagine yourself in the stadium, watching it happen live.
Definitely.
That just makes you go like, that just, oh, that must feel amazing.
Yes.
And that like came through the TV. The song's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
The performance is even more bonkers.
Yes.
It's a tits out performance, like full nips. And then there's ballroom dances. He busts out of a big sort of wooden box.
Yeah.
There's gyrating. It's super Eurovision-y.
Yes.
But also there hasn't been much like it beforehand, and it was really nice to see how much the public backed this song. Even though it didn't win, it came really close and was definitely like the public favorite. And every time I listen to it, it's like it's a really good energy booster. If I'm walking and this song is on, I'm walking faster than most cars. It's that good. It's just pure joy in a 3-minute package.
Yeah. It is unbelievable. Again, like I remember watching Eurovision last year, and I've not seen, like, my wife had like a visceral reaction watching it.
Yeah.
She was reacting as it was happening, going, yes, oh my God, yes.
Yes.
Everything about it. And the crowd went feral for it. I've not seen a crowd react like that to a song. Like, I can think of very few examples of that kind of reaction. It was insane.
The fans of Eurovision are wild to begin with.
And
I was obviously, because this was the first time in a long time where the contest was in the UK, I wasn't able to get a ticket, whatever. But my friends who did go said that, sorry, I wasn't getting emotional, I thought it was about to burp. my friends who did go, they went to go watch the it's not the rehearsal show, it's like the show they do for the juries.
Yes.
Ahead of the live show.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to see it and said, like, they blew everyone away. Even in the show where it's, like, not, like, the main event, people couldn't believe what they were seeing, and they were absolutely going wild for it. So you just, that kind of energy, I feel it when I hear the song. Same. I associate it with the energy of a massive stadium full of people who are happy to be there.
Yeah, yeah. The reaction to it is crazy. And he seems really nice.
I think he does seem really nice. Very gentle.
Yeah.
Off stage, he seems like...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not like normal, but like nice. As in like...
He seems very sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But no, I agree. Not quite normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I loved about this was, like, it was obviously such a big thing in Finland. Have you seen, there was a video of his, like, homecoming? Mm-hmm. And it's like the Beatles. It's, you know, there are floods of people at the airport waiting for him to arrive,
mm-hmm.
like, flooding the arrivals. And, like, he has to do, like, an impromptu performance of the song.
Yeah.
And like, and you have a bunch of Finnish people just showing up at an airport in the afternoon, going absolutely mental for Cha 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 again. The whole thing is great.
I mean, it's also partly because I don't think there's much to do there. So you might as well pop down to the airport. No offence to any of your Finnish listeners.
Oh yeah, no, I have many. not anymore, I suppose. Yeah, I have been, and I don't know if I would disagree. no, I shout out to Finland. I love Finland. Right. Song 5 is the song that makes you sad. So you went for Birdhouse in Your Soul by They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I will prefix it by saying I don't like the song. Which is maybe partly why I don't like it.
Okay,
but the reason that it makes me sad is because for me it's quite a somber listen. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a sour tone. I do apologise. We'll go back to like cute little Eurovision moments later. But I'm actually trying to write a show at the moment about my mum, who is sadly no longer with us. And this was her favourite song. And so it's one of those association things where... Every time I hear it, I do think of her.
Mm.
I can't help but feel if I liked the song to begin with, I'd listen to it all of the time. If her favourite song was a cunty girl pop banger, I'd have no problem with it. Yeah. But is this sack of shit? And I just... I was just there at the funeral watching the coffin go into the crematorium as this was playing, and I was just like... Oh God, like, you know, come on, mum, make a bit more of an exit. Come on. Let's have something to really serve cunt to. What is this? But it's the same for me and my brother. We associate this song with her because she always said it was her favourite song.
Okay.
It's not for me is the polite thing to say.
Sure, sure.
It's not for me. Okay. But it's one of those songs where I sort of avoid listening to it because I know what feelings it might conjure up, as I'm sure that is the case for like lots of people when they think of songs they associate with loved ones that they might have lost.
Yeah.
But yeah, just wish it was a better song. R.I.P. Mum.
God, yeah. I'm sorry, that's so funny. I was gonna ask you, does the song make you sad? Because it goes on for fucking ages, but
it's such a long song.
Yeah, and it's the same bits.
There's a bonnet and the thing and I'm just like, oh fuck off! Just build the birdhouse and then fuck off.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose that is like, I don't know, is that handy? Yeah, so it's like, because people do have songs that they associate with, like, you know, passed on relatives.
Yes.
And they can sort of sneak up on you a little bit. Like, you can, you know, you have songs that you might hear in a Starbucks or something.
Well, exactly, yeah. I don't hear this song walking around in the same way that... So my granddad was a... priest, well, nearly was a priest in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to walk into Starbucks and suddenly hear like a hymn.
Yeah,
I'll only think about that any time I go to Mass, which is never. So So it is, yeah, it is easy to avoid, but
right.
Yeah, people definitely like associate their songs with their loved ones. I think I do that for, well, I don't know if I do that for songs. I think I do that for video games, where people in my life who don't play video games, I always think I know a video game that would make you like video games.
Oh, okay.
And I think you can do the same thing with music as well. It's probably more common to do with music, but
yeah,
probably do it with lots of things to do with books, art, whatever.
Video games is a good one, though.
Yeah, I love a video game. I'm surprised, actually, I didn't... sorry, I won't give it away, but I'm surprised I didn't think of any songs from video games.
You don't need to worry about spoilers on this show, it's fine.
Sorry, spoilers. I know everyone's on the edge of their fucking seat. but I'm surprised more of my... I'm surprised that my choices didn't come more from video games, because especially in recent years, the music in video games has really gone up.
Right, yeah.
But like Tekken 3 character select screen, it didn't need to go off that hard. but can't find it on Spotify. So
right, okay.
Yeah.
I found out recently that Mortal Kombat music is derived from like Nordic church music.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause one of the main theme is actually a finish him.
Yeah. Are you saying the words "finish him," or are you saying the song is a finish him, as in a church song in Finland?
So it was a joke. It was the same both.
Sorry, I'm a professional comedian. I'm so sorry. That completely got lost.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's it makes sense. You're a professional comedian, obviously. That wouldn't.
No, I love that wouldn't land. Love humor.
Yeah. It's good. This isn't my day job. It's fine. Right. Song six. All right. I'm gonna emphasize a word here when I introduce this category.
Yeah, I've cheated.
Yeah, guess which word I'm gonna emphasize. Then. Song six is a song to relax to. And you've gone for Back Exam with Latex Gloves from the Healing Room ASMR.
Right. Hear me out.
Sure.
One.
Yeah.
As I said, I only listen to music to give me energy when I'm doing things that require energy, like when I'm doing active things.
Yeah.
So I genuinely couldn't think of a song that relaxes me, because I'm always thinking about the beat, the rhythm, whatever.
Sure.
So that's point number one. Point number two.
Yeah.
I found this on Spotify, which in my head means it is a song.
Mm.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Your new podcast, Sam.
Yeah.
Will that be found on Spotify?
Yes.
Is that a song?
Who's to say? Who is to say? My voice might be very melodic to some.
Yeah.
People, it could be a cappella.
Could be. Sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, an a cappella duet.
Yeah, an a cappella duet. Mm-hmm. It's spoken word. It's a really long song as well.
Sure.
And over time, the album will just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Music is what people say it is, and I'm a people, and I say it's music.
Okay. Okay. Cool. You want to stick with that?
I mean...
I've never seen someone run out of steam so fast in their defense.
I can't... There genuinely isn't another song that I would listen to relax.
Right.
Genuinely would get out Spotify and put a playlist together of ASMR tracks and then just listen to all in the same way I would listen to a song. But like I say, music doesn't relax me. Music to me is such an upper.
Right, okay.
And so I have to listen to other stuff to bring the energy down.
Okay. I'm intrigued by this, though. So if someone put on a relaxing song for you, would you just feel like wound up? Like, why isn't this going anywhere? Or have you tried it?
I don't think I'd feel wound up. I think I would just... I don't know. I think I would feel... Okay, so here's an example. I went for a massage once, and I'm going somewhere with this. And the guy was like, "So it's actually like a full sensory experience. We use different like scents in like the aromatherapy, and like the lights in the room are set to specific colors to match whatever mood you're trying to achieve. And also, we have songs that match like the theme as well." I was like, "What's the theme of the massage?" And he goes, "Oh, it's pirates." And so, so I lied down, and I was getting the massage. The massage was lovely, aromatherapy, lovely. But then the song in the background, which was intended to relax me, was like big burly pirates singing sea shanties, like. Like that one is like, "Hey," and he said, like, it, you hear the ocean waves when it's like the gentler part of the massage, and then when it's the men really going off, that's when like I'm getting knuckle deep in wherever I feel like I need to go. So,
oh wow,
it in that sense it was used as a distraction more than a tool to relax me, I think. So I just don't. I've picked my track and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I think if that happened to me, I'd probably be like, "Music is not relaxing. This is it."
But like, I was face down on a table, and I felt bad because he was doing a good job.
Right.
But I didn't want to go like, "I'm so sorry. I don't know if anyone said this before, but the sound of men shouting whilst on the seven seas, it's not the vibe. Please could you just turn it off?" I think that he might have like tried to hurt me then.
Right, yeah. That's like some dumb shit idea you'd hear on The Apprentice or something. It's like something they would say in The Apprentice and you'd be like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Stupidest this will never thing. Work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amazing.
I was massaged by Lord Alan Sugar. I should have said that. Yeah,
lead with that. Yeah. Mm. That's gold in that story.
And obviously Karen Brady was observing and making notes and scowling the whole time.
As she does.
All right, well, there aren't many things you could put on a playlist that would make me say, "Hey, let's move on to the Black Eyed Peas." But here we are. Song 7 is a song from your preteen years. So you've gone with "Hey Mama" by Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. I don't think this was like one of their biggest hits back in the day. I don't know what made me choose this song. But again, the Black Eyed Peas, when they came onto the scene, I must have been like 11, 12. And where my parents got like both I think they had more than two albums, but their first two albums, got those both, and then I started listening to the other tracks that weren't like huge singles, and this was one of them, and it just reminded me of being 12 years old and listening to it. I think I listened to it on my PSP, you know, the PlayStation Portable. I worked out how you put like music and stuff onto the SD card, which was a lot harder back in those days, and I would listen to it on that in, I think, like in my bed, like when I was sent to bed, I hide the PSP underneath my pillows and then listen to music whilst I fell asleep, and this was just one of the songs that I remember doing that too.
Right.
And again, it's an up tempo thing. I think I could put it on now and go to the gym, and it'd be like a nice energy boost as well.
Yeah.
Because it's got kind of like a super quick sort of like samba kind of mambo beat to it, which I quite enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's just very reminiscent of that time for me.
Yeah, sure. I love those little things that like date a story, but like to the month. Like putting music on your PSP, back in the day. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. I had one, another one where, another instance where I had someone date something to the month was someone told me that they went to a concert like early COVID and they were kind of in two minds about going, but they decided that they would go, but they would wear rubber gloves.
Because that so will
catch COVID.
That will protect
But that
them.
Was the thing at the time. It was like, wash your hands. That was all that they were getting. So they were standing in a very crowded space, breathing in an airborne disease, but they were wearing rubber gloves. So yeah, when you tell that story, that puts a particular timestamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
God, putting music on the PSP, that's great. I think this is when this was the era of the Black Eyed Peas that I don't mind so much. Like Elefunk, mm-hmm. I think as an album, there are like themes that go through it, and there are some songs I genuinely really enjoy. I don't know what it is about. Like,
as I say, it's Elefunk and Monkey Business that were the first two.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Yes, and then that's when it was. I can't even remember now. What's it called? I can't remember a single Black Eyed Peas song anymore. Maybe I'll keep it that way.
The song, are you thinking of I Got a Feeling?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you heard it. You heard that song in like every commercial ever. You'd hear it in phone adverts, in tampon commercials, like whether you needed a 4G signal or something to manage your menstruation. There's the Black Eyed Peas. There's a prawn ring on sale at Iceland. Yeah. Oh, there's Fergie.
That song really fucking annoyed me. I don't like songs that are just about songs, or like I don't know what it was in like the late 2000s where it was just I don't know if everyone had just watched Dead Poets Society and everyone got into this like pseudo carpe diem shit where every song is about like we might die, so let's make the most of tonight. We're gonna dance like there's no tomorrow, drink a drink because tonight's the only night that matters. That's just off. But yeah, Elefunk, I didn't mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what they just start taking themselves too seriously or something, or like they just it's like they became self-aware or something, where it's just started to irritate me a little bit.
Yeah, they peaked really early in their career, and then by that album, it seemed like they were making music for. I don't know, like making music for a reason other than trying to make good music.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about this before. I think I that really irritates. It's like cynically produced music where it's like there is a commercial purpose for releasing the song. Like you're trying to make a song that is about having a good night so it will be played at every good night.
Yes.
Like Pharrell does that a lot. Like it's sort of like latching onto a trend. Was it him and Katy Perry and Calvin Harris did a song called Feels because everyone was saying feels on the internet?
You could
tell that's why they've written that song, is that someone in a studio somewhere has gone like feels is a thing, we need to write a song about feels.
Feels. It's in the zeitgeist, so let's write about it. I mean, I don't know if like Pharrell Williams went into the studio and said, "I got to make a song that Tampax are just going to absolutely lose their nut over." But it does feel, you're writing for a commercial success rather than trying to make a song that like stands the test of time.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I don't think you'd listen to Tonight's Going to Be a Good Night and think, yeah, they were really onto something artistically here.
There's an SNL sketch about, I think, that song. And how they wrote it.
Oh no,
it wasn't that song. It was Boom Boom Pow.
Okay, good.
where they've given up on words and they were just like, how about noise? How about we just make noise? And it's like, there's like one of the people asking Fergie like what she wants to add to the song, and she was just like, I was just thinking about something like maybe like people in the place, and they were like, that's great. And what, where are the people going exactly? And she was like, to the place. Like, yeah, but who's going to the place? The people. And they're like, okay.
Oh, that's great. I'm gonna have to check that out. Yeah. All right, perfect. Song 8 is a cover. So you went for Queen of the Night by Kelly Clarkson.
Did indeed, because I think she's the queen of the covers. I think people tremble if she dares to cover their song, because then they know it's hers now.
Yeah.
She has that song. I chose this one because I do like it, but also it was the only one that I could find that was actually like a cover that she released, because obviously she does a lot of covers on her show, but she doesn't necessarily do like a full cover of the song, whereas this one she released like a little album of covers, and this one was a really good one of it. But like just this week she had Jennifer Lopez on, and she covered Let's Get Loud, and if I were Jennifer Lopez, I would simply say to Kelly, hey, maybe don't, because I mean, I think Jennifer Lopez is very talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you compare the two people there as singers, I think one certainly comes out on top of the other.
Sure.
And I wouldn't want them showing me up. So, yeah. But this is a really good cover. I think Kelly Clarkson can sing literally anything. And if she did a concert where, I don't know, she just sits on stage and people send her WhatsApps and she just sings them, I think that would be like a $1 billion tour.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if she had any kind of like improv ability, like she could just go on tour with like zero plan, and yeah, she would make millions.
I'd go see a Kelly Clarkson improv show.
Yeah.
In fact, it would be the only type of improv show I'd willingly go see.
That's reasonable, yeah. It's a great song. I actually became aware of Kelly Clarkson covers through like the memes about Kelly Clarkson covers. Like there was a sketch on TikTok of someone, like it was like every singer's worst nightmare, and the producer coming in and going like, your song's trending, let's find out why. Oh
yeah,
it's her. Kelly Clarkson covered your song, and then someone in the background's like, that's her song now,
she's taking it.
She is unbelievable. Like she's so good. I've long since been
to have a Boom Boom Pow, and I think it'd be good.
I genuinely agree with that. I genuinely think that would be really good now. I've long maintained that Underneath the Tree is a top tier Christmas song, and I don't always get a lot of
so good.
Yeah. It'll always get a lot of traction with that, but yeah, it's a great one. Trevor Noah acknowledged it at the Grammys as well. He used it as a threat.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said at the start of the show, he said, like, you know, your speeches, keep them nice and tight. Like, this is going to be 10 hours long. We want to keep things moving. If your speech runs on, we'll get Kelly Clarkson to run to cover one of your songs and perform it better than you ever have. So keep it moving.
That's a good threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a Whitney Houston song as well that, you know, you're kind of listening to and going like, she's smashed this, and it's Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. And famously, she was on, she won American Idol. That's how she got her start.
Right.
And on that show, Simon Cowell would always tell everybody, never sing Whitney Houston, because nobody's going to be as good as Whitney. But I think she did sing some Whitney and did a good job of it.
Right.
And now I think she's more than qualified to cover Whitney.
Mm. Yeah. It's a great cover. I love it. Song 9 is a song you would sing at karaoke. So you went for Call My Name by Cheryl.
Yeah. Yeah, I get again, I think a good karaoke song is one that people don't realize they actually know quite well. And back in the day, Cheryl, nay Cole Fernandez Vicini Tweedy, she had some, I think, really good music. And I think this was her th off her third album. I think it was famous because she performed it on The Voice and did like a big swan dive off the stage and was caught by like a group of dancers and everyone was like, oh my God. Also, she did a performance of it on some show where they didn't put her backing vocals on, so all people could hear was her actual mic and her not singing at all. She was singing the song, but only like sort of barely, so to make it look like she was singing along with the backing track. Problematic, but iconic at the same time. I would sing this song. I sang a different Cheryl song with a friend at the Fringe last year. But, and I don't think this is a funny idea now, but at the time we thought it'd be really funny to go on stage and sing a Cheryl song as Cher and just act like we missed the Y and the L. So we sang Fight for This Love, but as Cher. Which nobody really understood. They were just like, they're really bad at singing, which I am. But I was doing Cher's voice on purpose for a little bit, but nobody got it apart from us. But yeah, I think it's a fun song. If you're gonna sing a song at karaoke, you're not a good singer. Then at the very least, you have to pick a song that if people had to, they could just dance along to it without really needing the vocals there. So I think people could dance this whether Cheryl was singing or not, or whether the person who was trying to sing it was confused and singing a Cher or whatever. I think people would like hear the beat and go like, woo. So it'd get like, there's nothing worse at karaoke than like a song that kills the vibe in its place.
I think that is a good bit. Sorry, that's really tickled me. Just before I share. Amazing. I think I saw this karaoke thing at the Fringe. Was everyone in pairs? Was it like a organized karaoke event, or was it just like, is this just a night out or something?
There were a couple. There were some at one place, and then there was also another place where it was like DJ battles where you both pick like a set of songs and you sort of like try and get the crowd really into your chosen songs. But I think the catch was they all had to start with the first letter of your name. So that was a fun one, but nothing really good starts with L. I don't remember what I chose. I think I actually played Lick My Neck and Back and Pussy and Crack. But as covered by Cher, obviously.
Obviously.
But no, this is just like a regular sing whatever you want karaoke night. There was Alison Spittle did a really fun one where it was a nu metal emo night, and I've never seen so many of my friends get so into karaoke. They
Oh,
came
really?
dressed fully ready to sing all of the bangers, Fall Out Boy, Avril Lavigne.
Excellent.
Just those two, I guess. I can't think of any more.
That's it. Yeah, et cetera.
Yeah.
You've got two and et cetera. That's the list.
Yeah,
That's all you need.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. As I said, this I think is a good one. It's good energy.
Yeah.
It's good fun. And you can kind of like screech it a little bit depending on your range, I suppose.
Yeah, my range.
All right, perfect. Song 10 is a song that reminds you of a specific place. So you went for Hold My Hand by
Yeah,
Jess Glyn.
because it reminds me of being on a plane.
I was gonna
Because,
say, so this is a jet to holiday,
it's
is
a
it?
jet to holidays. Me and my husband, before we got married, the first holiday we went on an all-inclusive to Greece, really excited, got a good deal on Jet2. And I didn't know that when you get on a Jet 2 plane, every time the intercom goes off, you hear Jess Glynn, like you hear her in every ad for Jet 2. So every time they need to tell you something, like, and I was like, okay, great, lovely, bit of fun. But then when you're on the plane for 4 hours and then you're not let off the plane once it's landed for an hour, and they every time they need to come in, and you're just like, hello, everybody. Just to say, we're not going to be letting you off anytime soon. And also, we do need you to remain seated. You cannot get up to use the toilet. It would be a breach of health and safety. But, you know, sit back and hopefully we'll be allowed off the plane soon. Okay. And by the time we finally got to the resort, I was just like, I better never fucking hear Jess Glynn again.
Oh, that's great. I mean, for I suppose for anyone who hasn't who's not familiar with Jet 2, like any listeners in Australia, for example, I cannot stress enough how fucking everywhere this song is. Like even to this day, like this song was released in 2015.
Yeah.
It's been out for 9 years, and Jet 2, I don't know what year Jet 2 picked it up, but an airline picked it up and used it in their adverts, and God, they've been using it for so long. And I was the same as you. I went on a flight and I didn't realize that I'd hear it on the plane as well. You're already predisposed to hate it because you've heard it in so many trailers.
Yeah.
And so many adverts. And then if you get stuck with it and also associate it with like a horrible plane experience.
Yeah. Oh, unpleasant. Man. I mean, this has nothing to do really with Jess Glynn. It's just that if I did ever hear her sing that song live, I would kill myself.
Nothing personal, Jess.
Nothing personal, Jess. You carry on. Don't mind me.
Yeah. I have to say, when I was listening to this, I just take each song at face value and I try to listen to them with an open mind. I actually didn't mind listening to this song. Like, I haven't heard an advert in a while.
Yeah.
It's a good song. I can see why they picked it. It's
not bad.
Yeah.
Again, it's just association of when you hear it the most, when it's used as some form of torture. You go off it, don't you? So
you do. You do. And I think that's fair. That's great. What was the holiday good at least? Like once you finally got there.
Oh, holiday was lovely. Lovely great. Holiday. Yeah.
Excellent. Where in Greece?
That's a great question. Rhodes. We went to Rhodes.
Okay.
Lovely. Yeah, lovely. Saw the old town. And then mostly just stayed in the resort. I think it might have been a resort for the elderly. But we weren't complaining.
I don't mind that. We've ended up there a couple of times, like in that situation, like at least once, and I really don't mind it because the music's quieter at night, and you just you drink during the day, and then you sleep at night, and that's kind of what I want.
Yep. Very peaceful.
We were in Gran Canaria, and it was like mostly sort of an older crowd, and then if we wanted to get. Like, there's obviously a huge drag scene there, so if we wanted to go out and, like, get wasted...
You're covered. Yeah.
That's over there, but it's a separate place, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, perfect. Mm. Song 11 is a song that reminds you of a specific person, so you went for Fuego by Eleni Ferreira?
Yes. So she represented Cyprus at Eurovision 2018.
Right.
And I think me and my husband had been dating at this point for just under 2 years. So this would have been the Eurovision that happened the year we got engaged. But this song became sort of like our song because I think it was the first Eurovision that we both got really into at the same time. Because I get into every Eurovision and then, I mean, I'm sure he watched it before he met me. He got more into Eurovision once he started seeing me. And this was the first song that we were absolutely both buzzing about to the point where after Eurovision, we actually saw her perform live in London twice, and the second time my husband was so drunk that we were right at the front of the stage ready for when she came out at 1:30 in the morning, and she had her dance with her, she was doing the song, it was all great. She went up to the front of the stage to do that thing what they do where they put out their hands and they like shake, they touch the fans. That sounds bad. Touch their hands, like they reach out their hands. And then my husband like touched her hand and then grabbed it. And I have a video somewhere of where you can see Eleni Forero like forcibly have to, like she tries to walk away. She's like, hello, hello, I'm so happy to be. And then she just like, she tries to walk away and she's still like attached to my husband. So I just have a video of her just sort of having to like really yank herself away. But it's, I just associate it with a very happy time. It was a really strong year for Eurovision that year, but also this song, because we both loved it so much when we were planning our wedding. I mean, we changed our wedding quite a lot because of the pandemic, but the wedding that we originally planned to have, we were like, we should have this song as like our first dance. You know how like it sounds so tacky, but you know when you see a video of like, oh, bride and groom do their wedding dance that surprises everybody, and like they've learned like a quirky like, or they like dancing to hip hop instead of doing a ballroom dance or something, I'd be like, oh my god, how fun, I love it when straight people are diverse. So we were gonna have like a sort of like flash mob vibe where all of our friends would join in different bits, and my husband said something absolutely insane about like coming out with a cowbell. He wanted to like walk down the aisle with a big cowbell whilst the song was playing on. And he was just like, imagine you and me walking down the aisle, just each of us with a cowbell. And we're just like fucking banging on the cowbell, just getting everyone going. And I was like, what? Huh? Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. So that didn't make it into the final version of the wedding then?
No.
No.
Okay. No. I will say our actual wedding happened during towards the tail end, I'd say, but still during COVID, so we just had a registry office wedding in the end, which was actually very nice and also very cost effective. So we just listened to that song like afterwards, and that was that. Much simpler. Cowbells are really expensive as well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's very sweet. I love a romantic answer to this, or a romantic reason for being connected to a song that's not a romantic song.
No, exactly. No, it's not a romantic song. Well, I mean, you know, there's certainly fuego, the fire, the passion.
Yeah,
the
I suppose, but it's not like it feels like a much more organic choice to be a song that connects you rather than like, you know, people who are like, oh, this is a romantic song, what if this was our song? This is a good one. Like, imagine
this song was around when the nice thing was happening, and so now we associate that with that.
Lovely. Big fan. All right, cool. Song 12 is the song that motivates you. So you went for I'm Still Standing by Elton John.
I really enjoy, when I used to run a lot more for my fitness. I still go to the gym a lot, but I don't really do running anymore. It's really boring. Someone this week described running to me as a fitness form of self-harm, and I can't stop thinking about that. But I would make, it's the only time where I put any thought into music, really, is I'd make my playlists and I'd choose specific songs where the BPM matched how fast I would run. And there was just something about this song that was just right on the sweet spot. I think I remember, I'm a big fan of Strictly, and I think someone did a jive to this song, and I remember it being like really good. So again, see the visual and then associate with the song, and now I enjoy the song. But it's a really good song. All that Elton John is going places. the music video is super camp, but like, it's just, I think it's one example on here of where it's an up-tempo song, which I obviously like quite a lot, but then the message of the song is also quite motivational. So right. It's probably the one of the more apt songs for listening to when you're like working out or running or doing something physical, because yeah. it's sort of like the camper version of like Eye of the Tiger from Rocky or something, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So that's why it's
motivating. That's a great shout.
Yeah.
A camp Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie and Karen and Strictly.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
I think it was Jill Halfpenny and Darren.
I might have used it a couple of times.
They probably.
In fact, there's three of them here. There's Katya and Sean Walsh and Jake Wood and Jeanette Quickstep.
It was definitely Jill.
Jill.
Yeah.
So it's been used 4 times then at least.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the time where it got the first perfect score.
Oh, it was the first perfect score?
The first perfect score.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's some real, like, gay bar trivia night expert knowledge there. That's great.
Are you saying at a straight bar that wouldn't come in handy?
It would. It might. I just don't know if they'd ask the question.
Sure.
But yeah, all right, perfect. Song 13 is a song someone introduced you to. So you went for Don't Upset the Rhythm by the Noisettes.
Yeah. So on Spotify, they curate lists automatically for you now. And one of them is the on repeat list.
Right.
And I'm not sure how I managed to do it, but I started listening one day to my husband's on repeat playlist. I don't know how I got it.
Okay, yeah.
But we must have been like sharing songs with each other, and I somehow ended up on his one instead of mine. I didn't notice. And this was one of the songs that was on there. And I do remember this song when it came out, but I guess it must have just passed me by, because I know the Noisettes and I think of a different song when I think of them. It's that, I think it's called Never Forget You or something. But then...
Yeah, that's one of the big ones.
So I listened to it thinking it was that song, not remembering the name. But then I listened to this song and I was like, oh, this is actually quite nice. I really like how it builds, like each chorus adds a little bit extra than the one before it had. Either there's more drums, there's more trumpets, more percussion, more bass, whatever. So by the end, you really feel like a... Is it a crescendo that goes up?
Yeah.
As it goes, yeah. So now it's in my on repeat playlist.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just really stuck. So I have my husband to thank for that one.
And a much more subtle way to get you into his music, rather than saying...
Yes, because he doesn't have to say, oh my God, you need to listen to this.
Yeah.
It's sort of like sneaking vegetables into cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, maybe that's a way to do it for you in the future, is to be like, oh, you know this song. This is one of your favorite songs by a band that you like.
So gaslighting.
Yeah, gaslighting. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Look, people knock it, but it's effective, right? Mm. That's the one thing I'll say about gaslighting, and you just said it as well. So, if you say so,
please don't hit me again.
Cutting that out. or just making it very clear this is a resume. I had a real moment with this song, because I was listening to it and I was going back and forth and I was like, do I know this song? Have I heard this song before? Yeah. Has this been like... And then I was going, no, I've definitely not heard it before. It's really familiar to me, but I haven't heard it before. I've maybe heard a similar song or a similar band. Have I heard it before? And then there's a moment where I instinctively just went, kick, snare, hat, right. I was like, oh shit, right. Okay. There was just something in my brain that just instinctively, and it kicked in exactly that moment. I was like, oh yeah, I loved this song for a long time when I was a lot, like much younger.
Like a deep recall.
It was a deep pull, and Yeah, I've been listening to it a lot since. Because I think this was a period of my music listening where I did have a little bit more of a range in terms of what I was listening to, as opposed to this very sort of narrow focus of it must be guitars and it must be from the 70s, or it's Foo Fighters. So then, like, I was sort of opening my mind a little bit at this point. It's such a good song. It's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, song 14 is a song you wouldn't expect to like. So you went for Here Comes the Night by Agnes.
Yeah. So Agnes, I think most people probably know her from her sort of more international hit Release Me, which like was everywhere for a long time. And I hadn't heard, I didn't know that she was still making music, but we came across her album, I think, in like 2020, and it's such a different vibe to this, to that song. Like, she's not sort of doing that type of pop music anymore. And she had a song called 24 Hours, which, again, my husband played for me. He's like, I actually quite like this. He didn't go, it wasn't as hard a recommendation, but he was just like, oh, I quite like this song. And I listened to it and I was just like, that's really different for her. I don't know if I... Oh, all right. Well, you know, if she's happy, off she goes. And then she came up with the full album, and this was one of the songs from it. And there was just something about this song where I was just like, this is so good. And it's not the type of thing that I normally listen to. It's not like a song that is really for... I think if you heard this song in a club, it'd be a very sort of like niche kind of club. Like, it's not like a, it's not like a top 40 poppy track. No. It's got a really different sort of kind of weirder vibe to it, but it's really, really good. I saw a video of her doing a live performance of it at the Swedish Grammys, which I didn't know were a thing. But she sang it there live. And she's got an amazing voice, and with like a full like live band before her, the song like goes to another level. And it's just really good. Like, I think if you listen to all of these songs, there's a definite like get fun time dance pop vibe, and you get to this one, and it's definitely different. It sort of sticks out to me whenever it comes up on like recommended or something, because I'm like, oh, that's sort of like around other songs that are more my taste, but this is still a song that I really enjoy. In fact, the whole album that she made that this track is off of is really, really good. There's so many good songs on there, but this one in particular is a favorite of mine.
It's so good. I don't know if it's just because I'm like 32 now that I really resonate with artists who are in their 30s and have like been going for a while.
Yeah.
I find that much more compelling now than, you know, Olivia Rodrigo
I was just going to say Olivia Rodrigo.
Wonder Kids.
I know
this song isn't particularly deep, right? As far as like lyrics go. So it's not like she's drawing on all her life experience to put this out there. But it does feel like a much more polished, put together, like professional record compared to the likes of Release Me.
Which I think she came out with after winning like Swedish Pop Idol or something. So it's sort of her version of like, you know, Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis or something. It's like, you know, let's get. Yes. Yeah. Let's get like a song out sort of as soon as possible, make all the money we can off like people knowing her because of the show. And it was a really, that song was a really good song, but obviously like you realize that if you give someone time to mature as an artist, because she was so young then, and then she starts working out more what kind of music she wants to make, and then she starts making, you go like, okay, this is better because you're doing the stuff that you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think this song more than most on the list would make me think like, this is an album that I want to check out. This is an artist that I'm like,
yes,
I'm really interested in, because yeah. She's doing something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a really, really nice song. I really, really liked it.
Really lovely.
Yeah. All right. Song 15 is a song that you think everyone should listen to.
Yes.
So you went for Zora by Nebulosa.
Yes. Well, it's pronounced, I'm going to try and do it properly, Thorra.
Thorra, right.
So it's like, so this is a song that's representing Spain at Eurovision yes. this year.
Yeah.
Now, I think everyone should listen to it because it's all in Spanish, and I think sometimes when at Eurovision, when songs aren't in English or a song mm-hmm. that lots of countries understand, the meaning gets lost, and then they only see what they see on stage. And yes. I think if you saw the performance of this and didn't know what the song meant, then yeah. you would just go like, it's a bit of weird, tacky Eurovision pop. But
yeah.
it's actually a bit more than that. So yeah. it's a song about how... So the word Thorra means... it can mean many things. Yes. The nice translation is it means like a vixen.
Sure, okay.
But it's more commonly used in the form of the word bitch or slut. I think it's one of those things where there's like... That's the closest translation to whatever this word means in Spanish. But obviously,
yeah.
in Spanish, there's a slightly different vibe to it. But it yes. can be used as a placeholder for all of those things. It's like a pejorative against women. And so this song is about how this woman is basically saying, like, no matter how I behave, I'll mm-hmm. always get called this thing no matter what I do. So
right.
now I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to reclaim the word for myself. And I'm going to be, like, the biggest bitch and slut that anyone's ever seen.
Right,
and I'm
yeah.
going to be really proud of it, and I encourage other people to be the same. And, yeah. like, the performance that goes along with it is quite, like, risque as well. There's some sort of, like, male burlesque dancers on stage with her. Also, and I could be wrong, this is quite... It's like an electropop duo, sort of like the Spanish version of Blondie. She is, like... I think she might be in her 60s, 60s, 70s. I'm not sure, but she's like a woman Ooh. Of experience.
Okay.
It's not like a, it's not a girl singing this song. It's like a woman who's like lived a life. And this song, like everyone seems to hate it amongst like Eurovision fans, except for literally everyone in Spain who sings it like it's like an incredibly empowering feminist anthem. And right, you can hear okay. it when she performs it. There are parts where she just sticks the microphone out to the crowd and they already know all of the words. They're screaming them at her the whole time. As right. we all would if someone made a song in English that was called Slut. We'd all, like, when they stick out the microphone and they just go, Slut, Slut, Slut. We'd yeah. all sing along because it's fun to do that. But also yeah. there's like a really like cool message to it. And like when it won, everyone was just like, look at us go. They sort of don't care that nobody thinks is going to do well at Eurovision because they're just mm-hmm. like, this is a song that's important for our country, not for the contest. Yeah. So I think everyone should go have a listen to it and like read up on what the lyrics are because it's really interesting. They don't translate directly, but you sort of get what she's going for with it.
Because Zora, Zora, Zora at the start, it just said slut, slut, slut. And I was like, great.
yeah. Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. We've established a baseline there. We know what's happening.
yeah.
And also the translation wasn't great because it kept on referring to a postcard bitch.
I think I know what that is. So like,
picture perfect.
Yeah, it's like she's when she's saying that she's gonna own this word. She's yeah. saying that she's going to be the picture perfect version of it.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
so it's like she's gonna be like the exact definition of the word.
Yeah. Like the chorus is actually like, it's really interesting. So it's I'm in a good moment, rebuilt from the inside, and that bitch you feared so much became empowered, and now she's a picture perfect bitch.
Exactly,
who's not doing bad anymore, who doesn't yeah. care anymore, throw stones at me, who cares? I'm a picture perfect bitch.
There you go.
Yes,
but I do think this about songs that Spain's very adamant that they send songs to Eurovision. pretty much always in Spanish
yeah.
And occasionally you'll get a song that has like a Spanglish vibe to it where some of it's in English. But it's really important to them to sing songs in Spanish. And I think it's one of the languages, because there isn't much of a diaspora in other European countries, at least the ones in Eurovision. Spanish isn't like a language that is as easily understood in other countries. And so like the message and like, I guess like the rhythm of the language gets lost a bit. I think the same is true for Portuguese, because like you don't hear a lot of Portuguese music. But yeah, so I think that's why I said like everyone should go listen to it, because I think you have to watch it, think to yourself, what the hell have I just seen? Then you go and do a deep dive on it to try and work out what the lyrics mean. And then you start piecing it all together and go like, oh, okay, I like this now. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah. I can see it doing very well live. I can see this doing well.
Like, I think if she gets as many people as she did in the national final cheering along with her, then yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great though. It's great. When is Eurovision? It's like May, isn't it?
It's in it's usually the second weekend of May. The second week of May, because there's two semi-finals and then the final, and they do all these rehearsals. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm buzzing though. I'll be all over that. All right, perfect. Sam, that's as good a note as any to end on. I know we've obviously already mentioned the podcast, but is there anything else you want to, or if you want to plug that as well, is there anything you want to plug or promote?
Well, in general, you can follow me on any socials at Mr. Sam Lake. I am on tour at the moment with my show Aspiring Dilf, which has dates still up and down the country. So definitely check that out. And yes, I have a podcast that's coming out very soon called I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings, where I talk to people about something that makes them emotional. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. I'm having a new show at the Edinburgh Fringe this year and at the Glasgow Comedy Festival that's called Esmeralda. So that's what I was talking about when we were talking about, I forget which one, song number 5. That might get mentioned in that.
Cool. All right, perfect. Well, thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you very much for having me. Glad we did this, finally.
Yeah, we did. And that is it for episode 86 of Mixtape Identity. Thank you so much for listening. All the links are in the description. So Sam's podcast, I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings, is great. You should definitely check that out. Also in there is the link to the Edinburgh show, Esmeralda. Just based on what Sam's been telling me, I think it's going to be an incredible show. So if I have an opportunity to go see it, I will definitely do. So if you have an opportunity to go see it, please make sure you do. And the socials are in there as well, so check that out. If you like this show and you want to support it, there's a couple of different ways you can do that. If you're in a position where you could support us financially, you can throw a couple of quid, a couple of bucks for an episode that you've enjoyed. There's a coffee link in the description of the podcast, you know, buy me a coffee kind of thing. So if you're in a position where you could do that, that would be amazing. If you're not, completely understandable, but please do support the show in other ways. Tell your friends, leave a review, rate 5 stars, all that good stuff. It really does help with building the profile of the show. Keep bigger and better guests, everybody wins, all that good stuff. That's it. I will be back next week for episode 87. So in the meantime, look after yourselves, and I'll speak to you then.